Do you ever find yourself wishing that your life had no limits? I'm not talking about speed limits. We know many of you disregard them anyway. I'm talking about or government laws or policies at work or the boundaries that are needed between relationships and society. For those are important. And we're glad that law is limited. In fact, the Declaration of Independence established for us freedom from tyrannical rule. It limited the government's authority in our lives, giving us and our country healthy order and balance, for which we celebrate today. The limits I'm referring to today that I think we wish we didn't have are those self-induced boundaries that we hide behind every day. Self-induced boundaries that we wish we didn't have. Most of us have issues. We have limitations. We have fear. We have doubt. We have self-esteem questions. We have worry. We have issues with forgiveness, just to name a few. There could be an endless list of limitations and boundaries that we live within. Those internal fences that keep us corralled, stifled. They keep us trapped. We often find ourselves wallowing in the day to day, wondering, when will it ever end? I've got good news, which most of you already know. God has set us free. He's released us to live, and he's called us to live a purpose-driven life for him. A life without limits. Thank you for the amen. Thank you for the row that felt free to stand without limitation. Thank you for those that feel like they can worship. Whew. Communion day is always very emotional for me. I don't know why, especially when I can sit and watch people come and we're connected to Christ and he has made an impact on your life and you're sharing the blood and the body of Christ. And I always fear the days that happens because I have to speak, because I know I have to carry that emotion up here. God has set us free and he wants an incredibly amount of more life to come out of us than what we're living, because we're living within our own self-induced boundaries. He's released us to live. I want to share with you three considerations today, and we find these in one of my favorite people in the whole world, in the Bible, the Apostle Peter. And you'll find the first passage we're going to look at in Luke 5, if you'll turn there. I don't have the scripture for you in the bulletin or on the screen. Just a couple words of the scripture. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1019 in the blue Bible in the row. Luke 5. The first point I want to share is that Jesus calls us to an unlimited life. It says in Luke 5, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets, fishermen who were already done with the day's catch. So he gets into one of their boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, well, master, we've already been out fishing. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Simon has a little intuition here, because in chapter 4, Jesus has been to his house and he's healed his mother-in-law. Simon has seen Jesus and his powers and his miraculous healing. He's beginning to understand who Christ is. So he says, okay, we'll go. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said to him, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So what did they do? They pulled up their boats up on the shore, left everything, and immediately followed Christ. Immediately. It's as if they understood that Jesus was telling them that we're going to go on a fantastic journey. It's going to be so exciting that you don't need to stop and consider what you're leaving behind. You don't have to make provision. You can leave your boats right here. You can leave your business. Your families will understand. You don't have to worry that you are equipped with the right words or the teachings. Just follow me. In those certain words, he laid out a plan that would have no limits. So he and the others left and followed him without weighing the cost or realizing any limitations immediately. I'm always fascinated by that because these three are not the first ones to do that. It seems all of the apostles and the others that Jesus touched immediately got it and left. There was no, "Yes, but first let me. I'll do that. I'll meet you here later. First I've got to go to..." They couldn't deny the Spirit's impression upon them and perhaps the look from Jesus that seemed to go right into their souls. And a chance to follow this amazing person. Thankful and yet bewildered that God would call us to exactly the same thing. It's the same mission. He closes the Gospels in Matthew. He closes Matthew's Gospel in 28 with the Great Commission to the disciples and all of us to go and teach and baptize. He leaves it open-ended. There's no limitations. There's no plan. It's just us being excited, living for the Lord. The unlimited life responds to Christ's invitation with energy, with urgency, and with an abandonment of self-worry, care, or preservation. It's a calling to trust and to follow Him only. So the applicable question always is, how are you doing? Are you still waiting to get your life in order before you can truly follow what Jesus is wanting you to do? What are the limits you're still trying to work through that God can help you with? I'm sure if you sit down and think about it, those limits are self-imposed. Jesus simply says, "Do not be afraid. I can help you. Follow me." He calls us to an unlimited life. The second point I want to share from Peter's life is that Jesus sees us in an unlimited potential. There are no limits to the potential that Jesus sees in you. And this story comes from Matthew 16, starts with verse 13. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's page number 972. Matthew 16. The disciples and Jesus have been well on their way healing and sharing and walking life. And Jesus comes to the disciples. They come to the region of Caesarea Philippi in verse 13 of chapter 16. And he asks the disciples, and he asks us today, "Who do people say that I am?" God knows everything. He knows what people are saying. He wants to hear what the disciples who've been walking with him, he wants to hear them say what they're going to say. He wants to hear them verbalize who he is. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets in verse 14. And he says directly to them, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Here's our friend Simon, only this, he's called Simon Peter, answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. Your name shall now be Cephas, which means the rock. For I will on you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warns his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ yet. He didn't want the news getting out yet, but he wanted his followers to know it. And Peter knows it right away. Until now, everyone knew Simon as the steady fisherman in the not-too-exciting beige tunic, the businessman. He was married. He had a very humdrum and localized and focused life. He was quite normal. His confession of Jesus as Christ puts him now at the head of the game in his understanding and verbalizing who Jesus is. Jesus sees more in Simon. He sees the whole future of who Simon would become and how he would speak and how he would lead the church. And he casts a vision for him and says, upon you, I will build my church. And this is where Simon Bar-Jonas, which really means Johnson, son of John, Simon Johnson, the ordinary man, becomes the rock. He's Peter the rock. And in 1 second, Jesus has changed his persona. He's empowered to go forward and become one of the greatest church leaders we will ever know. I'm going to call him the rock. If you watch popular culture, you know this character, the rock. Peter the Rock may have always wondered about his destiny and his life. That's what you do when you're in a fishing boat. You think about life. You cast, and you reel, and you cast, and you bait. These guys threw nets, and they waited. And they thought about life. He thought, will he ever overcome the limitations he's created for himself? Will his dreams of significance ever be realized? Is there more to life than getting in a boat every morning? Jesus awakens nobilities in people. He sees in us the things we can't see ourselves. He helped Peter discover his undiscovered self. He introduced Peter to a future and a life, and he unleashed a leader and a person of insight and wisdom who still had character flaws, who still had sin. We're going to read about that in a second. But it didn't matter to Jesus. He awakened Peter to who he would become. Jesus sees in us an unlimited potential. What is Peter famous for in the New Testament? We talk about him every spring when we do the passion narratives. What did he do? Denied Jesus three times. Right? You know that. He was even warned. Jesus told him, Peter, you are going to deny me three times. No, Lord, not me. Peter's something of an extrovert. He often talks without thinking. Denied him three times. And while we talk about that every spring and Easter, and we're reminded of our own frailty and how we deny the Lord, Jesus still saw potential. He knew Peter would do that. Man, people, we see sin. We see lack of character. We see bad habits in one another. We see continual failure within ourselves. But Jesus sees unrealized and unlimited potential. The unlimited life moves out beyond our brokenness and says, if God wants me, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Jesus knew Peter's faults. He called him regardless. And he calls each of us to the same life, a life of unlimited potential. What if Jesus stood before you and cast a vision for you of the unlimited potential of your testimony and your witness? How would you respond? The third thing I want us to consider through the life of Peter is that Jesus spreads unlimited forgiveness through us. Turn to John 21. It's the last chapter of the Gospels. And the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, recount and retell the story of Jesus' life here on earth. They close with this story of the disciples and Peter, again, in a boat with some fish on the shore. Most of you know the timeline and the storyline of Jesus' life. He goes on to continue healing and saving lives. And the organized church of the day, the Jewish church, did not like how he was turning their world upside down. So they had him tried and crucified. He died. He rose again. He's now back on the shore as the disciples, led by Simon Peter, have gone back to what they know. Jesus is gone. This adventure they've been on seems to be over. And in their depression, in their grief, in their loneliness, they return to what they know best, life in a boat. And they've been out there for some time in John 21. And we see Jesus appearing to them by the Sea of Tiberias. Peter tells the folks, I'm going out to fish. And they all say, we're going with you for what else can we do in life? Early in the morning, in verse 4, Jesus stands on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He calls out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. They're thinking, yeah, right. But something about this is oddly familiar. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, who was John writing this letter, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he jumped into the water and swam to shore. Swims over 100 yards to get to Jesus. They come to the beach, the others in the boat, and bring in the fish, and they see that Jesus has already been there fishing. Jesus says to them in verse 12, come and eat. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He tells him, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, "Do you truly love me?" He answered a second time, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." The third time, he says to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" It says Peter was hurt. The English word hurt doesn't do justice to how he's feeling as Jesus reminds him that he's denied him three times. There was no sign in there to others that he loved Jesus. "Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you," Peter responds. Jesus says again, "Feed my sheep." We could talk all day in church life about what "feed my sheep" means, about what caring for lambs means, about what church leadership means. But the most important thing is here that Jesus has forgotten what Peter has done in denying him before other people, and calls him to the shore, and before the other disciples, raises him up again as the leader and instructs him to continue to build the church. Remember Peter, the rock, and upon him I will build my church. Just because Peter messed up does not mean it's over. And Jesus is here reinstating him. He lays out a charge to feed, to tend, to care for the church, the lost, the broken, to spread the same unlimited forgiveness that he has just received. The unlimited life doesn't harbor regret or self-loathing or pity. It doesn't keep itself, himself or herself, trapped in unforgiveness. It realizes that Jesus calls us, sins and all, to a life of repentance and a life that dives back into the water and follows the plan of God. So let's think about Peter and the disciples out in the boat looking at Jesus on the shore. Peter recognizes him and dives in and swims like he's never swam before. The others stay in the boat. Are you stuck in the boat? Can you get over your troubles? Do you continue to keep making the same mistakes? Do you have a problem with forgiveness, receiving or giving? Do you know, as Jesus knew the life of Peter before it even began, God knows you. He's called your life to be committed to him way before it even came into existence. He knows how you're going to act next week. He knows how you're going to act when you leave the parking lot. He still loves you. He still wants to forgive you, and he wants to use you to sow his forgiveness in other people. With no limitations. It's difficult because we're humans. It's hard to forget when people wrong us. It's hard to let go of the self-punishment when we wrong others. God forgives us. We have to forgive ourselves and forgive others. We need to let go. We need to dive in And we need to live out the unlimited life and potential that God sees in us. If we don't, what's it all about? What's it all for? You'll leave here, you'll go eat lunch, you'll go to work, you'll come back next Sunday and sit in the same place, and between Sunday to Sunday, maybe nothing will have happened in your life. My friends, we have to awaken and realize that in our daily lives, God wants us to share His love and for others to see the potential that He has in us by loving them. Let's consider the unlimited life that God offers. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this day of worship. We thank You for the wonderful music that we have heard, for the testimony in the faces of those who played and sang, for the teaching in Sunday school, for the care and the fun that's going on within the children's ministry as we speak, for everything that You've been doing within this ministry, for the great celebration we had yesterday and the neighborhood impact. God, You've always have seen within the body of the Carl Road Baptist Church, no matter who's sitting in the pew, potential and life and freedom. And Lord, even after 105 some years, we're still discovering who You want us to become. Who will we become, Lord, depends on each person who is sitting right here listening today. May they discover and look to Your forgiveness, Your power, Your love, and the life You have called them to. May we be unlimited in how You love us and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.